A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
37.6 down to 13.6. That's what happens to a retrieval system when you switch on the model's reasoning mode. Exact match on hotpot QA collapses by 64% because the model starts ignoring the documents it just pulled.
That number is the whole episode in one line, honestly. Daniel's prompt this week is about our own pipeline, the one that assembles the system prompt, his question, and the logbook memory retrieval into one composite. He's noticed something. The memory leg doesn't seem to be firing, and he wants to know whether there's a framework that lets you set the weighting of those inputs deterministically, as a mathematical parameter, instead of leaning on the system prompt to beg the model to pay attention.
Right. And his premise is that system prompts don't have inherent higher weighting in vector space, which is true. The model attends to tokens with uniform architectural privilege. A system prompt is just text that happens to arrive first. So the question is whether the recipe has a knob we can turn, or whether we're stuck with whatever the inference process decides to do on any given run.
And the answer, the part that surprised me, is that there's a real framework for exactly this. It's called Grounded Decoding, from a group at Iowa State. It doesn't weigh the system prompt against the user prompt, which is a gap worth naming, but it does weigh retrieval against the model's own parametric memory using an explicit scalar, and that's the leg Daniel thinks is dead.
Before we get to the scalar, let me put my finger on what he's actually describing. The pipeline feeds one long composite, system prompt, user prompt, retrieve vectors. The model doesn't know which part is which, not in any architectural sense. It just sees tokens. So if the memory retrieval isn't showing up in the output, the fix he's considering is to emphasize the lookup in the system prompt. And that, apparently, is the one intervention the literature says fails.
It fails because negative constraints compete with parametric activations during generation. Saying, don't use your prior knowledge, or make sure you use the retrieve memory, is asking the model to suppress part of its own forward pass. The instruction gets processed, but it's fighting the model's internal confidence. There's a practitioner write-up from April that calls this the knowledge contamination problem. The model's parametric memory overrides the retrieved context. Quiet, confident, and extremely common.
Quiet and confident. That's what a model sounds like when it's ignoring the logbook. It doesn't announce it's skipping the retrieval. It just produces an answer that's plausible and wrong in a way you'd only catch if you knew what the vectors contained.
And the mechanism is worth sitting with. The probability that a model uses retrieved information is inversely proportional to its confidence in its internal answer. So the retrieval pipeline does the most work on questions where the model trusts itself least, which means if our memory leg feels dead, it might not be a weighting problem at all. It might be that the model is confident enough in its own reasoning that it never needs to lean on the logbook.
That's a diagnosis, not a fix. But it reframes the whole thing. Daniel's asking for a mathematical parameter, and what you're saying is the default behavior is already a hidden parameter. Confidence. It's just not one we set.
Right. And the position problem makes it worse. There's a well-established U-shaped attention bias. Tokens at the beginning and end of the input get higher attention regardless of relevance. System prompt sits at the start. Retrieved memory typically lands in the middle. Worst possible real estate.
The middle seat of airplane rows.
The middle seat with the armrests already claimed. And there's a newer refinement from Colem last year. When inputs occupy up to half the context window, the lost in the middle effect is strongest. Beyond that, primacy bias weakens and distance-based bias takes over, so depending on how long our composite is, the memory could be getting buried for different reasons.
So the system prompt isn't privileged by role, but it's privileged by position. And the memory retrieval is disadvantaged by position. That's a cheap hypothesis to test. Move the memory to the end of the composite, or restructure the order, and see if the episodes suddenly start referencing prior material.
That's the 10-minute experiment, before anyone builds a dual-stream decoder. But Daniel's actual question is about deterministic weighting, and that's where grounded decoding gets interesting. The way it works is elegant. At every generation step, it constructs two probability distributions. One is the full RAG distribution, query plus documents plus prefix. The other is a retrieval-only distribution, documents plus prefix with the query omitted. Then it fuses them with a scalar parameter called rho.
So at each token, the model is effectively asking two questions. What would I say if I had the retrieved context? What would I say if I only had the retrieval and not the user's query? And then it blends the two.
And the blend is a closed form. The probability of a token under grounded decoding is proportional to the full distribution raised to 1 over 1 plus rho times the retrieval distribution raised to rho over 1 plus rho. When rho is 0, you get standard RAG exactly. As rho increases, the model anchors harder to the retrieved documents. It's a grounding weight, and it's a single scalar you can tune.
That's the mathematical parameter Daniel was asking for, not in the system prompt, in the decoding step.
And the traces are wild. In one sample, on the token 1947, rho is 1.92. On the token the, rho is 0.06. So the framework learns to crank the grounding weight when the next token is a factual claim, and relax it when it's just grammar.
Which is the adaptive variant. The static version just holds rho constant, but the adaptive one scales it by a relevance score and a token-level divergence measure between the two streams. It's doing the thing Daniel wants, but it's doing it at inference time, per token, with actual math.
The cost is real, though. Roughly double the per-token decode latency. 25 milliseconds versus 12.5 in their setup. That's the price of running two distributions and fusing them. For a podcast pipeline that runs once a day, that's nothing. For a production system serving thousands of requests, it's a serious architectural lift.
So the framework exists. It's real, and it's expensive. But here's the part I want to sit with. Daniel's premise about the system prompt is confirmed by two independent papers. OpenAI's instruction hierarchy paper says it outright. Models often consider system prompts to be the same priority as text from untrusted users. And a paper from June of this year says production. LLMs attend to every token with uniform architectural privilege.
Uniform architectural privilege. That's the phrase. So the system prompt has no special status. What OpenAI did about it was train the behavior in. Their instruction hierarchy work teaches models to selectively ignore lower privileged instructions. They built a priority ladder, system message at the top, user messages below. And it improved defense against system prompt extraction by 63%.
So the fix for system prompt authority is training, not decoding. Fine-tuning with synthetic data and context distillation. Which means the system prompt and user prompt boundary is a learned behavior. The retrieval boundary is a decoding behavior. They're different problems with different solutions.
And that's the genuine gap in the literature. As far as I can find, nobody has built a runtime scalar for the system prompt versus user prompt split. Instruction hierarchy handles that boundary through training. Grounded decoding handles retrieval through decoding, the composable multi-input stack. Daniel's imagining doesn't exist as a single framework. What exists is a patchwork.
Which is itself a finding. The thing he wants is partially available. The retrieval leg has a knob. The system prompt leg doesn't, and the user prompt leg is just the query, which is the baseline everything else gets compared against.
Let me complicate the picture, because there's a contradiction worth airing. OpenAI says the hierarchy is learned, must be trained in. The uniform privilege paper says it's not inherent. Both agree it isn't free. But one treats it as a training problem, the other as a decoding problem. And then there's a third position from a preprint in April that makes a much more dramatic claim.
The reasoning paradox.
The retrieval reasoning paradox. Single author, not peer-reviewed, so treat it as a contested data point. But the claim is that enabling reasoning mode on Gemini 2.5 caused systematic disengagement from retrieved documents. The model got better at thinking and worse at grounding. A no-retrieval baseline showed retrieval offered no benefit at all to the reasoning model.
That's the number I opened with. 37.6 to 13.6. The reasoning mode actively undermined the evidence. So if our pipeline uses any kind of extended chain of thought, the memory leg might be failing, not because of weeding, but because the reasoning itself displaces the retrieval.
The paper's phrase is that extended chain of thought actively undermines evidence-based grounding, which is alarming. It suggests that the more the model reasons, the more it trusts its own parametric memory over the retrieved context.
Which loops back to the confidence mechanism. Reasoning increases confidence. Confidence suppresses retrieval use. So the better the model gets at thinking, the less it wants to look at the logbook.
And the standard fixes for that aren't what Daniel proposed. The practitioner write-up I mentioned found that negative constraints perform poorly. Instead, what works is positive constraint framing, answer-based solely on the following documents. Citation requirements are the strongest single intervention, and chain of thought grounding, where you force the model to reference the documents in its reasoning.
So the system prompt instruction, make sure you use the memory, is exactly the wrong shape. The right shape is cite the memory, or answer using only what's in the retrieved context. Positive, specific, verifiable.
And there's a framework called prompt fusion that tries to translate numerical weights into priority labels. It's a three-layer composition system. You give it a weight between 0 and 1, and it converts that into semantic labels. Weight above 0.6 becomes critical priority, must follow. Below 0.2 becomes optional consideration. The repo itself notes that numerical weights get ignored by LLMs, so it converts them to labels.
Which is an admission that the raw scaler doesn't work when it's just text. The model doesn't feel the difference between a 0.7 and a 0.8. So the framework translates it into language the model has been trained to respect. It's a workaround, not a true mathematical weighting.
And that's the distinction. Grounded decoding is a true mathematical weighting. It changes the probability distribution directly. Prompt fusion is a prompt engineering layer that approximates weighting through semantic labels. One is deterministic in the way Daniel means. The other is still non-deterministic, just with better phrasing.
Let me ask the question I think is underneath this prompt. He's listening to the episodes and getting a sense that the prior episode memory isn't being queried. How would we actually diagnose that? What's the test?
The diagnostic distinction is between faithfulness and answer relevancy. Faithfulness measures whether the output is grounded in the retrieved context. Answer relevancy measures whether the retrieved context is actually relevant to the query. If the memory leg is dead, you'd see low faithfulness. The model produces coherent answers that don't draw from the retrieved vectors. If the retrieval is pulling junk, you'd see low relevancy. The vectors are there, but they're the wrong vectors.
So the symptom he's describing, episodes that sound fine but don't seem to use the memory, that's a faithfulness problem. The model is producing plausible output from parametric memory, and the retrieved vectors are sitting there unused.
And the cheap test is to run the pipeline twice. Once with the memory retrieval, once without. If the outputs are indistinguishable, the memory leg isn't contributing. That's the no retrieval baseline from the reasoning paradox paper, delta of essentially zero.
That's a clean experiment. Same prompt, same system prompt, toggle the RAG query off. If the script doesn't change in any meaningful way, the memory was never being used. And then we know we're dealing with knowledge contamination, not retrieval failure.
And the fix, if that's the diagnosis, is probably not a mathematical parameter. It's a combination of position, moving the memory out of the middle, and positive constraint framing, telling the model to cite the memory. Maybe with a citation requirement built into the prompt.
But if Daniel wants the deterministic knob, grounded decoding is the answer. It's real, it's published, and it does exactly what he's describing for the retrieval leg. The question is whether it's worth the architectural cost.
For our pipeline, the cost is trivial. We run once a day. Doubling decode latency from 12 milliseconds to 25 milliseconds per token is irrelevant. The bigger cost is implementation. You need a dual-stream decoder. You need to modify the inference backend. It's not a config flag.
And the static row variant captures most of the gain at much lower cost. You don't need the adaptive relevance scoring. You just set row to some value and let it ride. That's a plausible middle path.
The paper's own numbers suggest the static variant gets you most of the way there.
So let me steel man the other side. What if the memory leg is actually firing, and Daniel just can't tell? What if the retrieved vectors are influencing the output in subtle ways that don't show up as explicit references?
That's the contamination problem in reverse. The model could be using the memory to shape its reasoning without ever quoting it. The output would be grounded, but not apparently grounded. And that's actually the ideal case for a podcast. You want the memory to inform the discussion without the host saying, as we discussed in episode 4000.
Right, because we don't do that. We don't reference past episodes, so the memory's job is to prevent us from repeating ourselves, not to make us cite the archive, which means the output would look identical whether the memory fired or not, unless you compared it to a no-memory baseline.
That's the subtlety. The memory lag in our pipeline isn't supposed to be visible. It's supposed to be a filter. It keeps us from retreading ground. So the test of whether it's working isn't whether the episodes reference prior material. It's whether the episodes avoid repeating prior material.
And that's much harder to measure. You'd need to run the same prompt through a pipeline with and without memory, and see if the memory version is actually different in the places where the vectors are relevant.
The more I think about it, the more I think Daniel's instinct is right, but the fix is wrong. The memory lag probably is underused. The system prompt approach probably won't fix it. But the mathematical parameter, the grounded decoding row, that's the real solution if we want determinism.
And if we don't want to rebuild the inference stack, the cheaper fix is positional. Move the memory retrieval to the end of the composite after the user prompt. Let it sit in the privileged final position instead of the buried middle.
That's the 10-minute experiment I mentioned. The U-shaped attention bias means the end of the input gets high attention. If the memory is the last thing the model sees before generating, it's more likely to use it. That's not deterministic weighting, but it's a positional hack that costs nothing.
And the literature supports it. The found in the middle paper showed up to 15 percentage points of RAG improvement from attention calibration. The multimodal paper from June found the shape can flip, with gold at first beating gold, at last by 16 to 26 points in some readers.
So position isn't just a weak effect, it's a dominant one, and we're currently putting the memory in the worst possible spot.
Let me pull on a thread you mentioned earlier. The instruction hierarchy paper from OpenAI. They built a priority ladder with system message at the top. But the more recent work from June extends that to 12 levels of conflicting instructions. And even frontier models only get about 40% accuracy when the conflict scales.
That's the Mini-IH paper. Mini-Tier Instruction Hierarchy. It's an EMNLP findings paper from this year. The finding is that the current models are decent at 3 or 5 levels of priority, but when you push to 12, they collapse. 40% accuracy on conflicting instructions.
Which suggests the whole idea of a composable multi-input stack with clean priority levels is aspirational. The models don't actually maintain a clean hierarchy beyond a handful of levels. So even if you could assign weights to system prompt, user prompt, and memory, the model might not respect them if there are too many competing sources.
And the gravity-weighted DPL paper from June tries to fix this by training with weights based on structural distance between conflicting levels. 5 levels, 10 pairwise priority relations. It's a training time solution, not a runtime parameter.
So the landscape is training time solutions for instruction hierarchy, decoding time solutions for retrieval grounding, and nothing for the system prompt, versus user prompt split at runtime. That's the gap.
The gap matters for Daniel's specific question. He's asking for a composable multi-input stack. What exists is a patchwork of training and decoding interventions that each handle one boundary. Nobody has built the unified framework.
Which is itself a research opportunity. If someone built a runtime scaler for system prompt authority, that would be a new contribution. The closest thing is grounded decoding's row, and that's specific to retrieval.
The FCPRAG paper from August tries something related. It introduces a learned fusion controller that predicts sample-level fusion weights for retrieved passages. The insight is that temperature or blending factors often fail because evidence utility is highly sample-dependent.
The weight shouldn't be a global constant. It should vary per query, per document, per token. That's the adaptive direction.
The parallel context of experts paper makes a simpler point. RAG pipelines discard the scalar relevance scores from retrieval and re-ranking. Those scores are already computed. They're a wasted weighting signal. If you kept them and used them in decoding, you'd have a form of deterministic weighting for free.
That's almost embarrassing. The retrieval step produces a relevance score for each document. The pipeline throws it away. Then we wonder why the model doesn't know which documents matter.
The score is sitting right there. The re-ranker says this document is 0.9 relevant, this one is 0.3. And then we stuff them all into the context as if they're equal. The model has to reconstruct the relevant signal from the text alone.
One cheap intervention is to preserve the retrieval scores and use them to order or annotate the retrieved passages. Put the high relevance ones at the end, where the attention is highest. Mark them as more important. That's not a mathematical parameter, but it's using the signal that already exists.
It connects to the over-retrieval concern Daniel raised. The overfitting failure mode is when the model queries the vector store too enthusiastically and the retrieved material displaces its own reasoning. The opposite failure is what we're seeing. Retrieval ignored. Same symptom, different disease.
How do you tell them apart?
Over-retrieval shows up as outputs that are fragmented, repetitive, or too anchored to the documents at the expense of coherence. The Sage paper from August quantifies it. Fixed retrieval budgets over-retrieve for easy queries and underserve hard ones. Their adaptive approach hits 95% SLO compliance versus 30% for the best static baseline.
The fix for over-retrieval is adaptive retrieval budgets. The fix for under-retrieval is grounding weights. They're opposite interventions, which is why diagnosis matters.
The diagnostic is the faithfulness versus relevancy split I mentioned. Low faithfulness means the model isn't using what it retrieved. Low relevancy means it retrieved the wrong things. Over-retrieval would show up as high faithfulness, but low relevancy, too much junk in the context. Under-retrieval shows up as low faithfulness, the context is fine, but ignored.
For our pipeline, my suspicion is low faithfulness. The logbook retrieval probably pulls relevant vectors, but the model doesn't use them because its parametric memory is confident enough to write the episode without them.
The fix that the literature actually supports isn't what Daniel proposed. Emphasizing the lookup in the system prompt is a negative constraint. It competes with parametric activations. The positive constraint version is to require citation, to say, base your discussion on the retrieved memory, rather than don't ignore the retrieved memory.
The difference between use this and don't not use this. One is a directive, the other is a prohibition. Models respond to directives.
The strongest single intervention, according to the practitioner write-up, is requiring citations. Force the model to reference the retrieved material explicitly. That changes the generation task from write an episode to write an episode that demonstrates use of the memory.
Which for a podcast is awkward. We can't cite the logbook on air, but we could require the model to include a hidden annotation or to produce a separate faithfulness check.
Or we could just run the no-memory baseline experiment and see if the output changes. That's the cheapest diagnostic. If the scripts are identical with and without the logbook, we know the memory leg is dead. If they differ, it's working and just invisible.
Let me ask you the question. I think Daniel would ask next. If grounded decoding is the answer, how hard is it to actually implement?
It's a research framework. The code is on GitHub, but it's not a turnkey product. You need to modify the inference backend, probably VLLM, to run the dual-stream decode. The paper reports the latency numbers from their setup, but adapting it to a different model and pipeline is real engineering work.
The practical answer is, the framework exists, the math is sound, the implementation is a project, not a weekend.
For a solo developer, it's a month of work, minimum. For a team, less. But the static row variant is simpler. You don't need the adaptive relevance scoring. You just set row to a constant and run the dual stream decode. That's maybe a week of work if you're comfortable with the inference stack.
The gain, if the memory leg is actually dead, is that the episodes start using the logbook, which for us means fewer repeated takes, more fresh angles. That's worth a week.
But there's a subtlety. Grounded decoding anchors to the retrieved documents. If the retrieved documents are the logbook memory, and the memory is supposed to be a filter, not a source, then anchoring to it might produce episodes that are too derivative of past material.
That's the over-retrieval failure pattern again. Crank row too high and the model starts quoting the archive instead of reasoning. The whole point of the memory is to inform, not to dominate.
The row value matters. Too low and the memory is ignored. Too high and the memory takes over. The sweet spot is somewhere in the middle, and the adaptive variant is designed to find it automatically.
Which is the real answer to Daniel's question? Yes, there's a framework. It's called grounded decoding. It uses a scalar called Rho. It's mathematically deterministic. And it's expensive enough that the cheaper first step is to test whether the memory leg is actually dead. Then try the positional fix. Then reach for the scalar if those don't work.
The system prompt emphasis he proposed is the one thing the literature says won't work. Not because the system prompt is weak, but because negative constraints compete with parametric memory. The model doesn't here use the memory more. It hears suppress your own knowledge, and it's bad at that.
The composable multi-input stack he's imagining is partially real. The retrieval leg has a mathematical parameter. The system prompt leg has a training solution. The user prompt leg is the baseline. And the whole thing is held together by position, which is the hidden variable nobody set, but everybody's subject to.
The position variable is the one we can change for free. Move the memory to the end. See if that alone changes the output. That's the first experiment.
I want to go back to the confidence mechanism for a second. The idea that the model uses retrieval most when it trusts itself least. That's a beautiful thing to build on. It means the memory leg isn't a constant. It's a fallback. It fires when the model is uncertain, and it's silent when the model is confident.
Which means the episodes where the memory doesn't fire might be the episodes where the model is confident in its own take. And the episodes where it does fire might be the ones where the prompt is novel or ambiguous.
Daniel's sense that the memory isn't being queried might be an artifact of the prompts he sends. If the prompts are clear and well specified, the model is confident and the memory stays quiet. If the prompts were vaguer, the memory would kick in.
That's testable. Send a deliberately vague prompt and see if the memory leg suddenly becomes visible. If it does, the system is working as designed, just not in the way Daniel expected.
The memory is a safety net, not a primary source. That's a different mental model than the composable stack with equal weighting. It's a hierarchy of confidence, and the retrieval only activates when the parametric memory flags uncertainty.
The knowledge contamination problem is exactly that mechanism failing. The model is confident when it shouldn't be. It produces an answer from parametric memory that contradicts the retrieved context, and it does so with total assurance.
Quiet and confident. The worst combination.
The fix for that specific failure is the positive constraint framing. Tell the model to answer based solely on the documents. That forces the parametric memory to take a backseat regardless of confidence.
But that's a blunt instrument. It works when the retrieved context is authoritative, but it breaks when the model's own reasoning is better than the retrieval. Which, for a podcast about AI, where the model's training data is often more current than the logbook, is a real risk.
The logbook is our memory of past episodes. The model's parametric memory is its knowledge of the world. They serve different purposes. Forcing the model to rely solely on the logbook would make the episodes worse, not better.
The real fix is a weighting that varies by context. High grounding weight when the topic is something we've covered before and the logbook has relevant material. Low grounding weight when the topic is new and the model's parametric knowledge is the better source.
That's the adaptive row. The relevant score R of X and D, where D is the retrieved documents. If the retrieval is highly relevant, R is high and rho scales up. If the retrieval is marginal, R is low and rho stays near zero.
The adaptive variant is the actual answer to the composable stack. It's a mathematical parameter that varies based on how useful the retrieval is for this specific query. That's the deterministic weighting Daniel wants, but it's dynamic, not static.
The cost is the dual-stream decode, 2 distributions per token, double the latency. For a daily podcast, that's nothing. For a real-time system, it's prohibitive.
The honest summary is, the framework exists. It's mathematically sound. It's expensive to implement, and the cheaper alternatives are position and positive framing. The system prompt emphasis is the one thing that won't work.
The gap in the literature is the system prompt versus user prompt boundary. Nobody has built a runtime scaler for that. Instruction hierarchy handles it through training. Grounded decoding handles retrieval through decoding. The unified composable stack is still a research problem.
Which is a satisfying place to land. Daniel asked a question that turns out to be at the edge of what's currently possible. The retrieval leg has a knob. The system prompt leg doesn't. And the whole thing is more subtle than a simple weighting scheme because of position, confidence, and the model's own parametric memory.
The relevant scores. You mentioned them and moved on. I used to run a document retrieval system for a law firm back in the late 90s. We had a ranking engine that scored every document for relevance to the query. And the first thing the lawyers did was throw away the scores and read the top 20 documents in whatever order they came out of the database. Same mistake. The signal was right there and they ignored it.
That's exactly the parallel context of experts' point. The retrieval step computes relevant scores and the pipeline discards them.
We fixed it by printing the score next to each document title, just a number in the margin. The lawyers started reading the point 9 documents first and skipping the point 3s. No new math, just showed them the number they already had.
The cheapest intervention is to surface the score. Annotate the retrieved passages with their relevance. Let the model see which ones the retriever thought mattered.
The model or the person. Either way, the number does the work. We didn't need to retrain anything, just stopped hiding the signal.
For our pipeline, that would mean including the retrieval scores in the context, maybe as a prefix to each memory chunk. The model sees the relevance and can weight accordingly.
The other thing we did was put the highest scoring document last, so it was the last thing the lawyer read before writing the memo. Same trick you mentioned with position.
That's the U-shaped attention bias applied to legal research. Highest relevance at the end, where it gets the most attention.
It worked. The memos got better. Though the lawyers would never admit the order mattered, they thought they were reading everything equally.
That's the thing about attention bias. It's invisible to the person or model experiencing it. You think you're weighing everything fairly, but the position is doing the weighting for you.
Anyway, the scores are already there. Use them.
That's the kind of fix that sounds too simple to work, but the literature and Hilbert's law firm both say it does.
It's free. No dual-stream decoder, no training. Just include the score and order the passages by relevance.
The ladder of interventions is, first, surface the scores. Second, move the memory to the end. Third, positive constraint framing. Fourth, grounded decoding if we want the mathematical parameter, and never the negative constraint in the system prompt.
That's the episode in 4 steps. And the diagnosis step before any of it, run the no memory baseline and see if the output changes.
The thing I keep thinking about is how much of this is just position. The system prompt isn't privileged by role, but it sits at the start. The memory isn't disadvantaged by role, but it sits in the middle. We've been attributing the failure to weighting when it might just be geography.
Geography is the one variable we can change for free. Before we build the dual-stream decoder, we should try moving the memory to the end of the composite and see if that alone changes the output.
The misconception people have about this topic is that the system prompt has some special authority, that the model treats it as more important because it's labeled system. The truth is, the model treats it as more important because it's first. And the memory retrieval fails, not because it's less privileged, but because it's in the middle, where attention is weakest.
The fix Daniel proposed, emphasizing the lookup in the system prompt, is the one intervention the literature says fails. Negative constraints compete with parametric memory. The better fix is positive framing, position, or a mathematical grounding weight like rho.
One forward-looking thought. If someone builds a runtime scaler for the system prompt versus user prompt boundary, that would be a new contribution. The gap is right there. Instruction hierarchy handles it through training. Grounded decoding handles retrieval through decoding. The unified composable stack is still open.
The reason it matters is that Daniel's pipeline is the future. System prompt, user prompt, retrieved memory, all composited into one input. The models don't know which part is which, and we need them to. The frameworks are catching up, but the unified solution isn't here yet.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for keeping the show running.
This has been My Weird Prompts.
If you want to send us a prompt, email us at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host.
time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.